This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense is powered by InsureLit from Sun Life Malaysia.
Good morning. You tune in to Ringgit and Sense, the show all about personal finance, and I'm Wong Xiaoning. Today, we continue our series dedicated to insurance, focusing on products to safeguard your family's well-being even as it evolves and grows. Joining me to discuss this is Anthony Lee. He's the president of Persatuan Insurance Arm Malaysia. Thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure.
Now, let's start off with when you're still single. Of course, insurance planning is probably much simpler because you just really have to manage yourself, but once marriage comes into the picture, that will naturally change. So what conversations need to happen in the first place? Shouldn't couples sit down and discuss what policies they might or might not have and the level of coverage that is suitable for them?
Absolutely. You know, especially today, right, where things are very expensive, if you experience a loss. So it can be anything from, you know, someone gets ill. We all know medical bills are high. Also, if something happens to you, you have a disability, obviously the breadwinners are paying. And usually I would assume people have a loan for a property or they're having to pay rent and fulfill the bills. Mm. These are all the things that lead to a lot of stress. So insurance plays a very, very important role. And actually the cost of some of the products out there is not that expensive. It's cheaper than you think. And when you're young, usually all these are much cheaper because you're a lower risk. Mm. And the sooner you buy these things, especially when you look at, you know, life insurance, right? It's cheaper the earlier you start. So I think, you know, sit down, look at it, have a think about, you know, what your needs are. Critical illness. This is if you can't afford medical. This is where you just get a lump sum if you get diagnosed with something. Disability income insurance, that's another one. If you become disabled and unable to work, it pays out. Mm. So, you know, you got peace of mind, right? So I would say those are the basics that one should look at.
And you should compare notes with your partner, right, to find out what they have and what you have. And then
absolutely. I mean, and also sometimes your employer provides some of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So check with all the coverage that you have. You can't obviously claim twice.
Yes.
So that's something to remember. Yeah.
But how do you know where the gaps are? Should the leverage of coverage, let's say we use life policies as a starting point, how do you know where the gaps are? Should the level of coverage, be increased for life policies? Should they be raised when you are thinking of yourself as a couple as opposed to a single person?
I think it's more important when you start having kids, to be honest, right? Because having a child, that's a lifelong, you know,
commitment.
I guess, yeah. I was going to say liability, but yeah, it's a commitment. So there, you know, you have to sit down and say if both of you are breadwinners, and if something happens to one, or something happens to both, God forbid, right? What's going to happen to the one that's left behind? So life insurance there is really material in that instance. If one is working, but they are earning a significant amount of money, obviously one policy is probably enough. But sometimes people take a policy out also on the other half that's not working because, you know, someone's looking after the child at home. So if that person's not in the picture, you need care, right? Mm. You'll need daycare and other things. So, you know, this can be very significant. And, if you don't have it, then the single parent that's left behind may not even have to give up their job or only be able to do part-time work. And the whole thing spirals down very quickly, right? It's particularly important when you have children or are planning to have children.
Yeah, because I've seen this thing called joint insurance policy for couples that exists, right, for some insurance companies. What about what about family life insurance? I've seen that also covering every family member. So let's say the married couple and their children. Is that a good idea?
I think you really need to sit down. I mean, ideally, this is where a good agent comes into play, right? Mm. Because the products and policies out there are constantly evolving and the needs of people are constantly evolving. You know, now with gig economy and all that, there's a whole different level of exposure and risk. So I would say really sit down with an agent or directly contact an insurance company and talk to several and, you know, make them show you what they have, what's on offer, how much you get to pay, and then, you know, do the comparison, right? And it's worth doing the homework. You got to do the homework. And if you don't understand it, like I say, go back and ask and ask friends who have done it. Mm. And, you know, we can always help. And the associations also provide help if needed, right? Or can advise you where to look.
And how much should you spend on life policy in any case? Because I've been reading and the advice is that maybe not more than 6% of your salary on insurance, on this kind of insurance or coverage of 10 times of the annual salary. Does it make sense? Because we don't want to overpay for insurance either, do we?
Yeah. So you got to, you know, there's a minimum entry level, obviously, right?
Yes.
But don't think about it as what's the cheapest, right? Because I think that's... When Malaysians get too excited about, I just want to pay the minimum. Okay, it's better than nothing, all right? So it's a good start. But then look at, as you can afford more, you know, the amount that it pays out can change significantly, and especially medical insurance as well, right? Mm. You know, the minimum, if you have cancer or some bad illness, you can burn through your limits quite easily, right? They have annual limits. So, you know, you just have to have a sense of that. And I think, obviously, the younger you are, the lower your risk. But I think once you've done a medical, you'll have a better idea of where you sit. And especially if you're on a motorbike, the risk of accident is very high. Mm. Sad to say that there's, you know, every day you will see an accident on the road somewhere, right? Just as you go along. And hopefully you're not one of those unfortunate ones. And that can be quite debilitating, right?
The other thing, Anthony, is how often should you review these policies? Because let's say when you're starting out, this is what you can afford, right? So let's say health insurance, you start off with maybe a coverage of 100,000. But as you get older, you think, I need to raise that. So how often should you review that and raise it? Bearing in mind, there is this thing called medical inflation, and it is quite painful.
Very painful. And look, all of us as insurers are working with government and B&M to address that issue. There's a lot of work behind the scenes to try and keep that in check. So that's good. But I would say, look, every year, good habit, you should, just before, you know, the premium comes in to pay, have a think, right? And maybe you might say, okay, now, the simple thing is, has anything materially changed in your life, right? So, like I said, suddenly you're going to get married, or suddenly... You know, you have an obligation towards a sibling or a child or whatever. If something has materially changed, or you've changed jobs, or, you know, you've moved house, or you've taken out a loan for something, if anything's significantly changed, you need to review what's your liability. And if something happened to you, what would happen to all those exposures, right? Mm. And I think that if you just ask yourself that simple question, write it down, and if nothing's materially changed, obviously, you know, you can carry on. If you happen to earn more money and you feel that, okay, I want to have more protection, by all means, take it. If you become more hard up, obviously, you might have to review that and obviously scale that down. But I think having the right view, just creating a habit, is the most important thing.
I have a question, though, because you brought up personal accident insurance, right? How different is that from health insurance, and who should consider that instead, perhaps?
Yeah, so it's a very good entry-level product, right? Mm. So basically, if you have an injury or become disabled or pass away because of an accident, you get a straightaway lump sum payout. It can be 100,000, 200,000 or more ringgit. So the premiums are pretty low. So it's a kind of, you know, worst case, something happens to you, there's a sum of money, and, you know, the person's left behind can deal with, you know, bereavement, all these other issues, and help, you know, because there's going to be this loss of income immediately, right? Because the will has to be dealt with. If the person doesn't have a will, there's all sorts of other issues. So you have a gap, right? So this is a very important entry-level product, I would say, but, you know, a real good to have.
And not very expensive, right, you were saying?
Yeah, not expensive at all. Now this you can get monthly deductions, you know, less than 100 ringgit.
Okay, and this is a practical question. You might have some policies which you bought before getting married, but now you're married. I'm curious, how complex is it to change beneficiaries in these policies?
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward, actually. It's, you know, you can actually call up your insurer and get it done. Usually there's an online form or something. Or you can call your agent. Like everything, you have to show evidence that, you know, you are the person and you're making the change, right? That's a good security measure. But no, that should be straightforward. There shouldn't be any challenge doing that.
And do that right. Don't forget.
Absolutely. Absolutely. EPF also, right? You got to do that.
Yes, for sure.
Stay tuned for Ringgit and Sense, powered by InsureLit from Sun Life Malaysia.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense. I'm Wong Shaoning. Today, we're discussing what insurance products you should consider to safeguard you and your family too. Joining me is Anthony Lee. He's the president of the Persatuan Insurance Arm Malaysia. Now, Anthony, let's talk about children, because at what stage should parents begin considering insurance products for their kids? The minute they're born?
Yeah, so you know, it's usually as early as, you know, you can start as early as 15 days old.
Okay, there is a limit.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people are even thinking about education already at then, but not yet in Malaysia. But, you know, 15 days old, that's super young. And look at the policy design. And this can vary from one insurer to the other. Sometimes have specific products for very young. And again, look at the needs of the family and the priorities. And, you know, then go again, like I said, go to the insurers, go to an agent, do your homework, ask what's out there, what's available. Mm. It should be very inexpensive if you're doing it very young. Right?
And I also read literature which says you can add on optional riders. Help me explain this, because if I'm a newbie to insurance, I'll be like, what is this all about? What does it mean?
I mean, it really depends on insurer to insurer, but, you know, they can be riders in terms of special needs. So let's say, because at 15 days old, you don't know, right? And let's say child ends up with, I don't know, ADHD or autism or something. You could, you know, get additional coverage in case that were to happen. And then I think if you do it very young, it should be a minimal impact, right? Because the younger you are, the pool is, you know, much greater. The risk of something bad is usually lower. And then, you know, as you build up years of, especially on the life insurance side, right, it's very valuable and it's a good return. So, and it depends also on, you know, like I said, the whole medical thing changes, right? There are different illnesses that crop up. You know, nowadays, I mean, there's dengue, malaria, all these things coming back, TB's coming back. You know, so it's good to have these coverages. And you know, actually, for a very young child or baby, infant, you know, hospital care is not cheap, right? Because it's very hard. They typically go into a special unit, isolated. The care is very different because they're very fragile. So those bills can be pretty high.
Yeah, okay. And let's talk about some of the general insurance products families should consider. I want to start with homes.
Yes.
Because for Malaysians and for a lot of people, it's the most expensive thing they will ever buy in their lifetime. So what are the insurance products that we should consider? For example, here in Malaysia, we take a loan. Usually banks will say you have to have an insurance policy, right? An MRTA. Yeah. Tell me, what is this MRTA and how useful is it?
So it's a very, very basic cover. To be honest, it's more securing the asset for the bank, right? Mm. So it's usually fire. So if the building got destroyed in a fire, the bank gets protected because the insurance pays that out. So, you know, they've clearly loaned you the money on the value, right? So the land has a certain value, but the property itself has a value. But that does not cover typically anything inside the house, all your valuables, right?
Okay.
And I think that's something that very important that Malaysians, you know, slowly, now they're working from home a bit more, there's flexi working, you're going to have, you know, computers, equipment, technology, and more devices in a home now. And then you have your valuables, right? There might be heirlooms that you've inherited, you know, whether it's watch, jewelry, you know, there's usually some of that stuff. And if you had, it even covers if you had a flood and the stuff got destroyed, right? So, you know, people that have bought this stuff and inadvertently, now we got much more adverse weather with storms, right? Windstorm and all this stuff. If the roof gets blown off or a tree falls on your place, you know, make sure you get the right policy cover, it will cover all that stuff.
But it's an opt-in, right? That's what I understand. You have to actually tick that box.
You have to say that you want actually personal, cover your personal belongings, right?
Mm.
So that's very, very important, because otherwise, that stuff isn't there. And also, actually, a lot of these insurance policies now include you covering some of the stuff where that you go traveling with the items.
Okay.
That can also be covered. So a loss of that, and it even includes theft, even, you know, cash and stuff. There's limits, but it can cover all of that. So, you know, the reality is, if you look in the Western world, right, everyone takes out this kind of cover. It's just the norm. It's just in Malaysia, people aren't used to it. They think, oh, never mind. I don't mind if something happens. But I think it's more prevalent now, right? Robbery is more prevalent, sad to say. Like I say, the storms are much more prevalent. So, you know, the risks are getting higher. Mm. And so you have peace of mind if you know, God forbid something happens. And like I say, if you shop around.
Are the premiums expensive, Anthony?
So the basic policies that most insurers sell are not that expensive. It's if you have valuables that, you know, start getting quite high, that's a different ball game then, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But I think people just need to think about what they have. And, you know, even things like pipe bursts and all that, it also covers that. So the inconvenience of all that stuff and you know, maybe you have to move out because you can't actually live in it because there's no running water or whatever until it gets fixed.
Mm.
There's a whole host of things, as I said. So, you know, have a think about that. And like I said, the flood one, we've seen the last few years, right?
Yes.
Flooding in certain areas. And so, you know, just think about your exposure. Now, of course, insurance companies will ask about where the property is and all the rest of it. So, you know, if you happen to live right next to a river, then, yeah, it could be expensive. And if you look around the world nowadays, right, in the U.S., look at Florida. I mean, some areas are now almost becoming uninsurable because every year there's a huge storm comes through and all the houses are destroyed. And, you know, insurers can take that 1 or 2 years out of 10, but if it happens continuously, it's a different issue. But like I said, climate change is here, it's happening, and those risks are there.
I want to talk about travel insurance as a family unit. Mm. Why is it so critical? A lot of people think it's, you know, why should I bother to pay for this?
Yeah, that to me is the biggest no-brainer one, right? So, yeah. You know, if we have incidents, right? People travel to, I'll give an example, China, right? They have a fall. The hospitals there are not the best.
Mm.
We have instances where they're even full and you have to wait for a bed. And let's say you have to have a hip operation or something. You're not going to be in a good place trying to get into a local hospital where you don't speak the language. You are, you know, they're going to ask for cash up front, all this stuff. You're already in a trauma state.
Mm.
Travel insurance will, you know, we've done this a few times, right? They medevac you, they'll fly you out and put you in a, you know, under care supervision of doctors. Our doctors will actually advise whether that hospital is appropriate for the care that you need. And if it doesn't work, we'll bring you back to Malaysia and continue, you know, here until you're fully recovered. So the peace of mind on that is huge. Now, of course, chances are, you know, lower, but it can happen, right? You're in a remote place. And then let's say you're in a remote place and there's, again, storm or adverse weather conditions happens a lot. Your flight's delayed, you're stuck, you know, all these things cost
bags
money.
Bags go missing.
Absolutely. So, and then if you have a family, it's more likely, right? The more of you on a thing, the chances of something happening to somebody obviously increases. And if there are older people, you know, that's even higher risk.
But I understand it doesn't necessarily cover every dangerous spot because more and more families are going on sporting holiday, on these kind of holidays, which involve surfing or skiing. So do you have to check the fine print?
Yeah, you just declare. Just say, tell them I'm going to go and do this and that.
Mm.
And they will tell you whether it's included or if it's excluded. Can you pay extra to have it included, right? So just be open to claim. Yeah, scuba diving is the classic one, right? So that's obviously a much higher risk. And if something happens to you, in a scuba dive accident, it's a lot more money and stuff to try and get you out of there and keep you alive.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That's all the time we have for Ringgit and Sense today. I've been speaking to Anthony Lee, president of the Persatuan Insurance Arm Malaysia. Join us again next week for more discussions on personal finance. We have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up. Next is, of course, my colleagues on Enterprise. I'm Wong Shaoning from The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense was powered by InsureLit from Sun Life Malaysia, empowering you towards a financially fit future.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.